So, starting out in many sports, one of the most important rules is focus. When you're talking about basketball, you want to focus on the rim when you're shooting. When you're talking about baseball, you want to focus on the ball as it comes in. You want to focus on it coming into your glove as you're catching. Focus is huge. Keep your eye on the ball. Look where you want to throw it. Concentrate on the basket. Watch the ball into your hands and then run. Focus is important for various things in life. Focus is important when we're investing. Focus is important when we're driving. Focus is important in marriage. The same in preaching. The problem is when we often don't know what to focus on in our preaching. So, okay, let's just agree. Focus is important. Now, what do we focus on? It starts with a lack of understanding what to focus on in the prep process. Now, do I focus on being interesting? Do I focus on being persuasive? Do I focus on being funny? No. Do I focus on being relatable, motivational, current, provocative, insightful, novel? I want to bring something new, something people haven't heard of yet. None of these are necessarily bad unless they become our focus. Then they can lead to unclear, confusing, or misleading sermons, or worse, outright false teaching. So look at Colossians 4, 3 and 4. Colossians 4, 3 and 4. Praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the what? For the Word, so that I may speak or preach the mystery of Christ for which I have also been bound, that I may make it what? Clear, manifest, like openly, plain to everybody in the way I ought to speak. So here's what we want to do this morning. The focus of effective preaching is clarity. The focus of effective preaching is clarity on the text so that the Spirit brings internal conviction, internal transformation. So three parts of a sermon to bring clarity to the listener, because the focus of effective preaching is clarity. So part number one. Anybody guess what part number one is? Who said that? Yeah, opening or the introduction. The introduction. Now, a good, thorough introduction has six parts. Six parts. It begins with an attention grabber. An attention grabber. That can be anything from a great quote to a story to an object lesson, something that is interesting to grab people's attention but is also connected to the subject. So the subject today is what? Preaching that is focused on clarity. So the introduction today was talking about focus, eye contact in sports. Something to grab people's attention, which then moves to a personal connection. Now, sometimes this is just obvious and you don't have to make it plain kind of in your introduction, but the personal connection is saying you all understand this. And this is what we're trying to do there when it's like, I don't care about sports. Well, how about investing? Do any of you drive? And so this is connected to you. Personal connection, and that should be pretty quick. And then that moves into the heart of the introduction. The heart of the introduction is the fallen condition focus. The fallen condition focus. This is where you bring out the sin condition of yourself, of the people that you're talking to. This is what the main point of this sermon is going to address and where it's going to help you. What's the issue that I face in preaching? What's the way that this falls short? What are the errors that I make? I'm focused on the wrong things. I'm trying to be funny. I'm trying to be inspirational. I'm trying to be novel. I'm trying to bring out something new as opposed to clarity. This is where you're bringing out the sin condition. And it could be particular sins, or it could just be the fallen condition, right? We're not perfect. We live in a sinful world, and therefore we experience grief. That may not come as a direct result of your sin, but it does come as a result of the fallen condition of this world. You're going to suffer. And so we're bringing that out in our introduction when we understand what the passage says. So the passage connection is next. Here's what the passage says. And from that passage, from the text, we're getting our what? What is it? What is it? Huh? What's the next part? Our proposition. The main point. The main point. So, here's how that works together. You're coming up with your main point, and then what you're trying to figure out is, what does this main point resolve? What's resolved by the main point of this passage? And what your main point resolves becomes your fallen condition focus. Here's the sin issues that we all deal with. And now here is how this passage, the main point of this passage, resolves that for us. And then before you get into the main body, you're just going to set the context. So set the context. That's where we say, okay, here's where we've been. Here's where we're going. This is the main point of the book. And here's where Paul has been interacting with in the text. And so you make that plain to the people. So six parts, and should be pretty quick. We'll get to that in a minute. Now, if the parkway was entered by an intersection, many people would be killed. You come to an intersection, it's a stoplight, and there's boom, 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 boom on the parkway. It turns green, and now you can enter into the parkway. Lots of people are going to get killed, except this is the way many preachers will start their sermons. They're right up, boom, straight, full speed, right away. There's no on-ramp to the sermon. This is the introduction. It's your on-ramp to the sermon, okay? Now, here are a few ways that preachers kill clarity with bad introductions. A few ways that preachers can kill clarity with bad introductions. Number one, they just don't have them. They don't have them. They go from 0 to 86 miles an hour like that. And so people are left still thinking about whatever it was of the day, or maybe that song or a conversation they had while the offering was going by, and then boom, we're straight into the sermon, and people aren't able to catch up until a few minutes into it. Number two, they fail to grab people's attention right away. They're like still a little sleepy. They're like, I'm not sure if I want to listen to this right now, or if I just want to get a quick 30 in, that would be great. Number three, they have nothing to do with the people they're talking to. It just doesn't relate. It doesn't connect with the audience. Like, you have to know who you are speaking to. Number four, they're interesting but disconnected from the main topic. That was a great story. It has nothing to do with the rest of the sermon. That's not going to bring any type of clarity. Number five, and this is probably where most preachers struggle, is myself included. They fail to convince people of their issue that the text resolves. The fallen condition focus needs to be sufficiently clear and compelling where the people are like, okay, yeah, I do actually struggle with that. Now I want to know what the text says so that I can deal with some of those things. Number six, it's disconnected from the text. It's a great introduction, but it doesn't really bring the text into it. Number seven, big time, It's too long. It's too long. If you have 45 minutes to preach, you can't spend 10 minutes on your introduction, unless you're John MacArthur. Then you can spend 35 on your introduction and just get to it next week. And then finally, number 8, it lacks the main point. The intro must ultimately serve the main point of the sermon. And so that needs to be brought out in your introduction. If it lacks the main point, then it's going to, at some level, lack the clarity that it could otherwise have. So that's the introduction. Number 2, the body. The body. The body of the sermon. This is the third part of a sermon to bring clarity to the listener. All right, the body. Just a few parts of the body of the sermon to keep in mind. Number 1, a good body unfolds a plural noun proposition with a so that. A good body unfolds a plural noun proposition with a so that. Now, it's fine if you're just going to say my point number 1 is, my point number 2 is, but it's better to say characteristic number 1, characteristic number 2, characteristic number 3, part 1, part 2, part 3 of the sermon, and then bringing in that so that. So why would I have these multiple things? It's so that this happens. It's unfolding a single proposition. For the sake of clarity, preaching must have one point, and that one point is the proposition. And the proposition is made of a plural noun. Then the outline of the body is made of the individual parts of that plural noun. So in this talk, it's 3 parts. In the sermon, if you haven't been here yet, is 3 characteristics. And then the body is made of an outline unfolding those multiple characteristics or parts. Now, the aim of it all is the so that of the text. The reason that the author wrote that passage. The aim of the proposition comes from the aim of the text and must be the aim of the body. And this is for a few reasons. So that clarity is brought to the listener, so that the gospel advances through our conversations, so that we're useful to God in spreading the gospel. That was this morning, right? So, in the last several lessons, this one here, the reason of the plural noun proposition is so that clarity is brought to our listeners. If you're here in the sermon, the reason for the plural noun there was so that the gospel advances through our conversations. The last time I preached, the plural noun was so that we're useful to God in spreading the gospel. That's why we walk in wisdom toward outsiders. So, good body unfolds a plural noun proposition with a so that. Secondly, we need to understand that illustrations are essential for clarity. So we're going to explain clearly and then illustrate for the sake of clarity. Now, if the sermon is a house, okay, the front door is the what? Is the introduction. The front door is the introduction. Now, the studs and the walls of the house are what? They're the body. They're the outline. It's the structure of the sermon. And then illustrations are the windows that bring light into the structure. It brings light and clarity and reveals the inside. It's the windows that bring light and clarity to the topic. And so there are a variety of illustrations. We can use anecdotes or stories as illustrations, object lessons, similes, metaphors, good quotes, parables. They should be quick and for the purpose of clarity, not entertainment. For the purpose of clarity, not entertainment. So, the body unfolds the one point of the sermon, which is the plural noun proposition with the so that. And then we use illustrations to bring in clarity. And then application, thirdly, application uses clarity for transformation. clarity for transformation. Once we've made the text clear, we draw out universal implications for either thought or word or behavior. Because of this text, because of what this passage says, you should then think this way. That's an application. Because of what this text says, you should then speak this way. That's an application. Because of what this text says, you should then act or live or behave this way. That's what we're talking about when we say application. Now, with application, it needs to be specific enough to be helpful to people, but it also needs to be general enough that it's not helpful to only one person that you're talking to. So if you make your application so specific that only one person can actually apply the text, you're doing your listeners a disservice. If you're making it so general that you can't actually live it out, then you're also doing your listeners a disservice. So, if the house front door is the introduction, the body is the structure of the sermon or of the house, the illustrations are the windows, then the application is the furniture. This is how you live this out. This is how you move about day to day with this truth. Now, oftentimes what makes a home enjoyable and relaxing is organization. You walk into a house and it's welcoming, it's inviting, and it's organized. Things are not strewn all over the place. And in a similar way, the key to clarity in a sermon body is good organization. It's good organization. So we have the introduction, then we have the body, and now the conclusion. The conclusion. Now you're trying to do a few things in the conclusion. Number one, first thing that you're trying to do is simply summarize the point. You're trying to summarize the main point. So the first part of this talk is the introduction. The second part of a sermon that's going to bring clarity is the body. The third part of a sermon that's going to bring clarity is the conclusion. That's where you just want to summarize what you've said. And if you can do it in a way that is fresh or not exactly what you called your points, that's better. Okay? So it's not just the introduction, the body, and the conclusion. It's having a good introduction that makes everybody pay attention and see their need, a body that is organized with good explanation, application, and illustration, and a conclusion that summarizes, reminds, and presses home. Like, this is kind of the summary that you want, so that people get something a little bit extra than just introduction, the body, the conclusion. Okay. So summarize the main point. Secondly, remind of the aim or the so that, the one point that the sermon has. Okay, so in this, it would be, we looked at the introduction, the body, the conclusion, so that our teaching and our sermons bring clarity to the text. They bring clarity to the listener. This is what we're after. So remind them of the main aim that you're trying to accomplish in the sermon. And then thirdly, the third thing you're trying to do in the conclusion is to press that point home one last time. So generally, I like to address the unbelievers and how the text is going to apply to them. Then I want to address believers and how the text directly applies to them. And then I want to use an illustration to put a kind of a final touch on what has been said for the day. So if you are not a believer this morning, then this text says to you, da-da-da-da-da, if you are a believer, then you ought to, blah, 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 blah. And then now we see how this finally calls us to enter so that. So, after a nice flight, takeoff has been great. The service has been wonderful. You got the drink that you wanted. When we were in South Africa, they gave us, or when we were on our way to South Africa, they gave us 3 meals, both there and back. It's pretty sweet. But the most important thing is what? Smooth landing. And so much can go wrong at the landing. Now, when we went there, we didn't even realize that we were like about to land until it was like, boom! And you're like, oh! And everybody in the flight went, ah! Because it was jarring. It was jarring. And that's what it's like when your sermon just ends. Okay? That was my last point. Okay, Lord, thank you so much. You're like, whoa, okay, I guess we're done. And this is that jarring landing. You don't want that. Or, secondly, when you go to land, the plane can come, it can touch down, and then take back off again, right? And we've all been a part of sermons like that. All right, in conclusion, for the third time, multiple conclusions kill clarity. Conclude only one time. That's all that's necessary. Other times, you could come in for a landing, but it's not open, and so what do? You just circle around the top. And this is a sermon that just drags on, and it's like, okay, land the plane already, land the plane. Or it's a conclusion that is like a quarter of the sermon. So conclusions should be short. Conclusions should be short. And then probably the worst is what? You just crash. The plane crashes at landing. And this is a conclusion that robs the whole sermon of clarity, right? It's either a connection that is not there, or it's throwing the whole idea of the sermon in a completely different direction. You bring up something that's unrelated, and what has happened is that the confusing, disconnected conclusion has drawn the focus of your listeners, and nobody remembers all the clarity that was brought through the rest of the sermon. So we have to conclude well. So, in conclusion, if you want to teach and preach with clarity, introduce your topic thoroughly, demonstrating to your listeners that they will spiritually benefit from listening to you. Explain the text clearly, offering plenty of light and drawing out implications of the text. And then conclude your message decisively while bringing final conviction to your hearers. If you are not a believer, what the scripture would say is that your unbelief has created blindness in your eyes. And so what that means is that you're not able to bring any clarity until clarity is brought to you in the form of spiritual sight. So when you repent of sin and embrace the gospel, then spiritual sight is given to you, and by extension, you're able to bring clarity to those that you love. If you are a believer, then trust in the truth of the Word and the Spirit of God. We aren't the cooks, we are the waiters. We're not the ones cooking up the truth, we're the ones who are simply delivering the truth. So deliver the truth without spilling any of it, without mixing any of it together. People want their steak, they want their potatoes, and they want their vegetables in separate spots, knowing what they are so that they can enjoy the delicious meal. We just get to deliver that. One of the biggest reasons that little leaguers fail to hit the ball consistently is that their head goes everywhere. We're in the batting cages, and I'm throwing batting practice to them, and they're swinging like this. And they can't figure out why they can't hit the ball. And the reason is that you need to have your head like this, constantly focused on the ball. We wonder What will people think? What will people say about my preaching? How can I be relevant? And so many other thoughts crowd out our aim for clarity. So if we want to teach and preach effectively, watch the Spirit transform lives, then we must focus on clarity. The Word will do its work in God's people. What questions do you have? Yep, Billy. Yeah.
Any thoughts on eliminating having too much and having to stop?
Yeah, I think in that you're just trying to get the best, right? And I think what you're trying to do is, particularly in the body of your sermon, is give thorough application to each of your, or sorry, thorough explanation to each of your points, but that also allows you time to make it clear through an illustration and bringing out the implications. The difficulty, I think maybe the tendency is to think that I should have this really long explanation and then illustration application, long, and so you're just trying to summarize what the text says in a way that is plain to the people that are listening to you, and then allows you then to illustrate and apply well. I think what that means is understanding the issues that they're facing, right? Understanding what this text really addresses. And then, yeah, figuring out what the best of what you have to say is. Because there's lots and lots of content, but some of it is either minutiae or things that are helpful for understanding, but not like for your understanding, but that can just lead you to the conclusion that they need to hear, right? So they don't need to know all the detail of why you came to that conclusion. They should know the right conclusion. You see what I mean? And so a lot of that content that you have in your study is why you have come to the conclusion you've had. So tell them what you've concluded and then maybe give brief explanation, but you don't need all that, the fullness of what you've studied. You're always going to know, you know, 95% more than what you can actually say, which is good. If you know exactly the same amount as what you say, that's probably not good, because then there's going to be people with questions and you don't know the answers to their questions because you don't know anything more than what you just said. Yeah, Tom. Yeah, I think organization has been really, really useful to me. And I think that, honestly, has only come in the last several months. I was talking to one of my buddies who did the Doctor of Ministry program at TMS, and he's like, for the whole 3 years, basically what they're helping you to do is organize your sermon for the sake of clarity. And so I'm really thinking hard about, is this organized? Is it clear? Can people follow from point to point to point? And yeah, I think I knew already kind of explanation, illustration, application, but helping each of those flow well from one to the next is about organizing your sermon well. So yeah, just the importance of organization for the sake of clarity. Yeah, Ron?
Is there a recipe
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think for the prep, you're trying to word study all of the main words of the text. So this one, it was, yeah, words, grace, seasoned. And then just that idea at the end for verse 6 where it's like each person, that's singular there. So he's not talking about plural people. And that's why I brought up the application that you're not so much looking to influence masses of people, but your one neighbor that you're interacting with at that time. So you're trying to bring it, like, word study all of that, and then, like what Billy brought up, you're then determining which one is going to be most helpful, and then which one you just state, but don't bring out why you state it. Like, I'm not going to bring out in the sermon, if you notice, it's each person is singular there, and in the Greek, what this, it's like, no, they can. You can kind of see that, but unless it's brought to your attention, then that application I don't think really comes. But yeah, that's all the main words, and then at your discretion for explanation. Yeah.
Preparing the message on either relative or absolute basis, how much effort does it take for various parts, like studying the text?
It's a lot. Oh, man. Yeah, so the study part is easy. The study part is easy, because all you're doing is you're doing word studies, you're reading commentaries, you're looking at the original, you're outlining the grammatical construction and how these are related, you're having ideas of illustrations and applications. All of that is time-consuming but easy. It's synthesizing all of that in a way that is understandable and helpful to the people that's hard. And it's difficult. That's my Friday. I'm like, Karen will tell you. I'm almost there, and I just need, you know, some illustration and application for each point. I'll do some that sometimes on Saturday, and yeah.
What about transitions?
Yeah, I don't think about transitions much. I think that I do them fine. Maybe you're like, yeah, you should think about them more. yeah, take the hint. yeah, I think it's just typically from point to point, I'm trying to repeat what has been said and then move into the next one. And I try to do that in a way that helps see the flow of the text, right? So it's like, all right, so you know the first part, we're talking about gracious words. The second part is salted words. Now look what he says about discerning words. And just, I'm trying to recap and then kind of move into it there. So, Trav?
Is there like a specific concrete way that you determine how much scripture you preach on in a specific question?
Yeah. I'm trying to think through what would be helpful to the church in that. And so if it's like I can't hit the things that I want to hit through just taking these four verses and then briefly hitting that, Colossians has been great because we've covered so many different things, right? We've covered family, we've covered work, we've covered church, we've covered theology, we've covered outreach and prayer and our conversations with them. So you're covering so much. I think in some books, you're probably going to be covering kind of the same, like particularly 1 John, I think, has a reputation of being hard to preach because it covers the same thing kind of over and over. And so you're probably in that going to take longer sections. I don't know, I haven't preached through it, but I would imagine you take longer sections because you can hit things multiple times, right? So it's just what would be helpful, what you want to communicate, what you think would be good for the folks. Andy? You get one.
So, like, I guess it's not really so much your preparation in the sermon itself, but like while you're preaching, do you think about
people nodding? Yes, I did. I don't have it in my notes, but I'm thinking like I want them to think about that for a minute. Yeah. Yeah. And if you listen to me first and second service, it's probably going to be different. Because I think it's just in the moment there, I'm like, I want people to hear that. So I'm not trying to be kind of regular in that. It's just, yeah, when I think that's a point that people should think about. Or if I have like an individual in mind, like if I'm thinking about you in the sermon, I'm like, he needs to know, and I'll stop. And I'm like, yeah. Andrew?
So this format is for verse by verse.
Yeah, I think it's the same thing. I think it's honestly the same thing. You want to, in a topical message, I think you still want to grab the main point of a text from the scripture. So it's not as though topical then is going to be disconnected from the scriptures. And so I think you do want to do the same thing with that type of message. You want to introduce it well. You want to have only one point. If it's topical, that doesn't mean then you can have four different main points. You still have to have one main point. And then in the body, you're still trying to do the same thing. Explain it well. Illustrate it so that it's the clarity and it makes it kind of tangible, and then apply it so that it is used by the Lord to transform the lives of people that you're listening to. You got to conclude it. Yeah, so I think this applies. Really, you're not going to be as formal, but this can apply wherever you teach, right? You want to help people understand that they need what you're going to say because it's coming from the scripture. Then you can clearly say it, bring kind of that tangible aspect to it by making it clear through illustrations, and then say, now, here's how it could particularly apply in your life. You could do that when you're with your sermon. You could do that in your car with your son, right? I think it brings clarity in those ways. So. Yep, Patty. Yeah. I really don't. I probably should more. But what I'm trying to do is, maybe I do, just not consciously. I'm just trying to make it clear and then see what are kind of the common issues that people might have with this. So, you may not be on social media a ton or even think about influencing a bunch of people through it, right? You may be a person that is going to just be regular with neighbors and particular people and have conversations with them like that. But I would say a number of young people and others would have that, right? So I don't think that necessarily has to do with spiritual maturity, but common issues that are dealt with relating to this truth. That's kind of how I'm thinking about that, and hopefully it would apply, like I was saying, broadly enough where everybody gets to benefit from it, and particularly enough where individuals do. So, yeah, sorry, hope that helps. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this time that we get to be together and to consider your word and how we could be used by you to make it clear to those we love. Please bless this in that way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.